This comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29 through 42. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He is on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Amen.
Thank you, choir, for your beautiful music, for bringing us into this understanding of the Lamb of God. This year, 2020, I have decided something very important, and I think all of you need to know it. I have decided to have a New Year's resolution. I don't normally do those things because usually they're like about fitness and eating healthy and that kind of stuff, and it's not really my thing, although it should be, just saying. But this year, I found something that I really think that I can hold on to all year long. This year, my goal is to see God in the everyday things, everyday happenings, just every day. Just find some place that I see God, to actively be looking for God. Yeah, so that's my New Year's resolution, and I think that it's more, because it's more about God than it is about me, and God's moving all the time, so it's really a lot easier than me trying to avoid the chocolate bars and that sort of thing. Simply just to see God in the everyday. Not the big knock-your-socks-off kind of miracles. I mean, those are really cool, and I'd love to see those every day, too. They're probably happening right in front of me all the time, and I miss them. But I really just want to make sure I pay attention to those little things. Those little moments, a laugh between a parent and a child, or birds singing as they peck around in my grass before they have to fly away because the rain is coming. Those little things. I want to see God in those little things. The season that we are in right now, we call it the season of Epiphany. That's a church calendar, kind of a churchy word for talking about this period of time between Christmas and between Lent, a time that we sort of pay attention to this mysterious concept that Epiphany, the way that God has manifested God's self, revealed God's self through Jesus in human form, fully divine and fully human. As you know, this isn't anything new to you. God's been revealing God's self since the beginning of time. Our scriptures are full of stories of experiences of God. of how God manifests himself to the saints of old. Abraham experienced God through the gift of a ram as a polemic against child sacrifice. Moses experienced God in a burning bush. Take off your shoes, Moses, for you are standing on holy ground. God was revealed to the Israelites through their liberation and freedom from oppression in Egypt. God was revealed to the prophets through visions and through dreams, to Mary and Joseph by the angels, to the astrologers from the east through the stars, to John the Baptist through Jesus' own baptism. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. The manifestation of the Messiah, the Redeemer. John the Baptist had been baptizing people. He had been performing ritual purity acts of moral cleansing, baptizing with water. There were these moral, for lack of a better word, these moral gurus who were walking around, and we know them as Levites and priests. And they came to John the Baptist and they asked him, and they said, "Hey, who are you?" They weren't asking what his name was. That wasn't really their question. They were asking what his function was. Who was he? He was pretty clear in the text, actually, just before our reading this morning. If you want to go back and reread John chapter 1, you'll hear more about John the Baptist's story. John says, "I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I am not the prophet." Now, I have to say that if I had been John the Baptist and these guys would have come up to me asking me basically who I was, what I was doing, all that, I probably would have tried to confuse them or just, I don't know, cause trouble. Probably would have responded with my own question, something along the lines of, "Well, just who sent you? What do you want?" But instead of being argumentative or instead of giving them a difficult time, he answers them. He basically says, "The only way I can tell you who I am is that I have to tell you about someone else. Before I can explain my function in this world, my calling in this world, the only way I can tell you why I do what I do is by telling you about the Lamb of God. For I am only the voice calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord." Epiphany. Epiphany is the revealing of the divine. The wise men revealed Jesus as the King of Judah with the giving of their gifts. God revealed Jesus as his beloved in baptism. John revealed Jesus as the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. If you want to know who John is, you first must understand who he is pointing to. Look, here is the Lamb of God. The disciples, now that's John's disciples. John's disciples to start with here in this story. Andrew was one of them and another one who is unnamed. They take note of what John is saying. They take note and they are curious. And they follow Jesus. And, you know, I have kind of a weird imagination. So I imagine this sort of following Jesus, like they're lurking around on the streets, kind of following him, with, you know, kind of watching around the street corner, looking around, kind of creepy-like. And then Jesus catches them. Jesus catches them and he says, "Hey, what are you looking for? What are you doing?" I imagine them being a little bit startled, and they ask, as he asks his questions, and they don't really know what to say, and so they kind of like, I don't know, they've been caught in their stocking, what are they going to say? So they say, where are you staying? That's a normal thing to ask somebody. Where are you staying? And Jesus, those are his first words in the entire Gospel of John. Jesus' first words are these right here. It's a simple question. He says, What are you looking for? I imagine there's a multitude of sermons that have been preached on those words. What are you looking for? What do you want? What are you seeking? This new year, if Jesus were to ask me that very question, I would say, I want to experience you. I want to see God's movement every single day. I don't want to miss it. I want to be alert. I want to be awake. I want to see a little glimpse of what God is doing. When the disciples asked Jesus where he was staying, he responded with a simple invitation. He simply said, "Come and see. Come and see." It's the same invitation that the Samaritan woman in chapter 4, just a few chapters later in the book of John, it's the same invitation that she gives to her fellow townsfolk after meeting Jesus at the well. "Come and see," she says to them. And they do come. They do come. They come based on her witness alone, based on her testimony. And they listen. And after hosting Jesus for a couple of days in their Samaritan village, then they, for themselves, they're able to say that they too believe. They came and saw because the woman invited them. And then they heard for themselves. And they believed that this man truly is the Savior of the world. Now, do y'all know that catchphrase? I'm sure you do. It's a kind of a popular slogan that people put on bracelets and things. And it says, "What would Jesus do?" Y'all have probably seen that. Yeah, I see a few nods. What would Jesus do? Yeah. You know, it's a good one. It really is. It really is a good one to know what Jesus would do and then to be able to do it. And I guess that the Samaritan woman did that very thing, saying to those in her village, "Come and see," because Jesus had done that. He had done that, so she was doing exactly what he had done. "Come, come and see. Come and see." You know, instead of a bracelet, though, that says, "What would Jesus do?" I think I would really like to have a bracelet that says, "Come and see." Because I have to be honest, if people are looking to me to find out what Jesus would do, well, might not be the right place to look. I don't know. I'm just trying, but I am an imperfect creature trying to imagine and understand what it is that the perfect, sinless creator of the world would do in any given situation. I think I would do much better with just inviting people to experience Jesus on their own. Just come and see. That part I can really imitate. Come and see. Maybe I would actually, though, be more comfortable with a description or a phrase, a different name on that bracelet. Instead of "What would Jesus do?" I might be more comfortable if it said, "What would John the Baptist do?" What would John the Baptist do? Because John the Baptist, right, he was pointing to Jesus. Do you know in the Gospel of John, the baptism isn't actually recorded there? Jesus' baptism isn't actually recorded in the Gospel of John. Now, it is in the other Gospels, so it's recorded, but it's not in the Gospel of John. And yet, John the Baptist is there, and he is baptizing people. But the function of John the Baptist in the Gospel of John is to show the Israelites who Jesus is, to let the Holy Spirit be the witness, to let John be the witness, pointing to Jesus and saying, "This, behold, look, this is the Lamb of God." Some suggest that perhaps a better name for John the Baptist in the Gospel of John would be to say his name is actually John the Witness. John the Witness. Because that is exactly what he is doing. He is witnessing for Jesus. He is pointing people to Jesus. He even sends his own disciples to go and follow Jesus. John says that he is a voice calling in the wilderness. Now, recently here at our church, we've talked a lot about the light of God, the light of Christ shining in the darkness, and how the darkness will not overcome it. We've talked about that during our Christmas season and during our time leading up to Christmas, our season of nativity. You know, and we all have that light of Christ within each of us. We do. We all have it. that light that we raise up to the heavens for all of the world to see. You've experienced it even in your own real time being played out on Christmas Eve, what that would look like to have the light of Christ raised up to the heavens. You've seen that in this darkened room, and yet there is still plenty of light to see by because we each have a light that we are holding. So imagine that being the light within us, a light within us that is full of Christ, that gives us hope. Imagine this place, this sanctuary, this space being a place that all of us come with our individual lights that we have within us, this light of Christ within each of us. And then we come here and it's like this great big spotlight that shines up to the heavens and out through the stained glass windows. And it goes through the cracks in the doors, and I'm sure there's no cracks in the ceilings, but it goes up through the ceilings. What a beautiful image that is. The light of Christ truly pouring out of this place. Not that we are perfect, because not a single one of us is, of course, right? That we all bear the light of Christ within us. And because of that light, we help shine the way for others to see. Now, here's the deal. I get to work here at this church. I get to work here. I get to be here. I'm here a lot. Maybe some of y'all might be here more than me too, but I'm here a lot. I eat here a lot. I even may have been known to take a nap or two somewhere on the property somewhere here. But yet it's easy for me. It's easy for me right here in this space to see the light of Christ shining. It's easy for me to see y'all's collective light coming in and shining into the world. I get to witness it. I get to see the hope that you bring. But you guys, when you come here, you encourage me. You lift me up. You help my light shine bright. You let Christ's light shine brighter within me. You help that. And yet you go from here. You go from here and you go into the world, and dare I say the real world, and you go out there and into your workplaces and into your social places and into the places that you fellowship and eat together and into the places that you go shopping, into the market. You go to those places and you still let your light shine. And it can be a dark world. I know it can. It can be a cold world. And yet you take your light and you find someone who is lonely, who is afraid, and you show them your light. And you, like John the Baptist, better yet, John the Witness, you, each of you, you say, hey, I have seen the one who brings us all light. I have seen the one who brings us all hope. I have seen. And perhaps the person that you meet, perhaps they might be skeptical. These people might be skeptical. Perhaps they don't think they need the light that you offer, the light that you point to, the light that you witness to. Perhaps they think that you're a bit cuckoo. Perhaps you are. Perhaps they are intrigued. Perhaps they want to know more about this light. And this hope. The Lamb of God has given the best and the greatest invitation to all. It's a simple invitation. Come and see. Come and see where I get my light. Come and see where I find hope. Come and see where an imperfect people follow a perfect Messiah. And together we light up the world, one candle at a time. John the Witness pointed toward the Lamb of God. The disciples, they came to see who John was pointing to. Maybe they came just to watch from afar. Where are you going, they ask. Where are you staying? And Jesus extends the invitation. Come and see. Come and see. That invitation has been extended to each of us. But I do want to warn us, it sounds simple,
But it's a powerful invitation. It's a powerful invitation. If you accept it, I dare say, you will most likely be transformed. Come and see. Come and see what God is doing every day, all the time. And when you extend the invitation to someone else, for some event, say, here at the church, say you extend an invitation for someone to come to a fall festival or an Easter palooza, you're not inviting them to come to fall festival or Easter palooza. You're inviting them to come and see Jesus. You're not inviting people to come to a Christmas choral concert. You're inviting them to come and see Jesus. You're not inviting them to come to an orchestra concert. You're inviting them to come and see Jesus. You're not inviting them to come to a Sunday school class. You're inviting them to come and see Jesus. You're not inviting them to a Bible study or a Wednesday night dinner. You're inviting them to come and see Jesus. You're not inviting them to a women's circle meeting or a United Methodist men's meeting. You are inviting people to come and see Jesus. And you're not inviting people to a table group or a mission trip to South Georgia. You're inviting people to come and see Jesus. You're not inviting them to church. You're inviting them to come and see Jesus. So come and see, for behold, I see the Lamb of God. Amen.